today is a very, very big day. And that means that is a day of peace. A friend of mine, Avi Meir, he's managing director of global communications at American Jewish Committee. He wrote an article yesterday in Newsweek titled "The Road to Arab-Israeli Peace No Longer Runs Through Ramallah." It's an important piece. I posted it on my Facebook page. I also tweeted it. I urge you to go and read it. But in case you don't, because we know that you need everything done for you, joining us on the line is Avi Meir. Avi, thank you for speaking to us so early in the morning. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Howard. I'm great. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. And just so our listeners know, Avi is a massive fan of South Africa and certainly of Cape Town. He sneaks off here. Well, no longer sneaking, because I'm telling everybody, once a year, Avi likes to sneak off to Cape Town for a little bit of real relaxation. So Avi is there. And you've been to Joburg as well.
I have been to Joburg as well. I do love both places very much, but Cape Town has become my destination of choice, although I haven't tried Plett yet, so I think that's next on my list.
Well, you should.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, Avi, we'll talk afterwards about that. Okay, so Avi, you're very active in this space. You wrote an article for Newsweek yesterday, "The Road to Arab-Israeli Peace No Longer Runs Through Ramallah." And it's very interesting because it almost seems to be that the Palestinian-Israeli conflict has become a barrier to peace in the Middle East. And when I read your article, it was almost that I got the sense that the Maginot Line was this in Europe was this strong barricade that no one could get through. So all that happened is the Germans went around it. Obviously, I don't mean that in a negative way in this case, but in fact, it seems to be that the Arab world is going around the Palestinians and achieving their own peace. Give us a sense. Give us the context. Because I think it's very important for our listeners to hear the process from 1948 onwards.
Well, look, what you're saying is exactly right. For decades now, the conventional wisdom in the Middle East has been that peace is possible with the Arab world, but only once Israel resolves its conflict with the Palestinians. It's what diplomats and experts of all kinds have told Israel for years. You can have peace, but only if you settle the conflict with the Palestinians. And this, as you say, goes back really towards at least Israel's establishment, perhaps even before, the sense of rejectionism, the sense that somehow the Palestinians hold the key to peace in the Middle East has really been pervasive for a very long time. And what we see now happening is the Arabs are, quite frankly, moving on. They're realizing that they have common cause with Israel on a host of issues, including both threats, particularly in the form of Iran, and opportunities in the form of economic development, tourism, and so on and so forth. And so coupled with a rejectionist Palestinian leadership that has not shown any kind of willingness or interest, quite frankly, in reaching a peaceful settlement with Israel, the Arabs are taking their matters into their own hands, and they are themselves approaching Israel, engaging with Israel on a variety of levels. And today we see two countries bring that engagement very publicly into the foreground, and actually signing peace agreements with the State of Israel.
It's absolutely incredible. To some extent, though, in a little bit of irony, could we be thanking Iran for this peace?
Certainly, Iran has played a very pernicious role throughout the Middle East, and it wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that some of the Gulf states are as concerned, if not more concerned, than Israel about the threat of a nuclear Iran. They have played a pernicious role, really, not only in the Middle East, but around the world. And this is something that the Arab states know very keenly. And they know that they have no greater ally in their fight against Iran's pernicious role than the State of Israel. And that, of course, is, I think, one of the driving factors behind these developments.
What I found so interesting is that once there's a mind shift, it's very, very difficult to go back. So when you see Bahrain, you see the UAE, you see talk of Morocco and Oman, these countries are moving towards peace with Israel and a real peace, which is so incredible. It's very difficult to now go back and look at the hate, because it almost seems so out of date. You wonder why there hasn't been peace all along.
That's exactly right. One of the things I discuss in my piece is the role that the Arab League has played over recent decades in terms of condemning peace between Egypt and Israel, how they actually threatened to expel, they actually did suspend Egypt from the Arab League for quite a long time, how they relocated their headquarters from Cairo to Tunis just because Egypt dared to sign a peace agreement with Israel. And if you fast forward several decades from now and you look at what happened last Wednesday, where the Palestinians demanded that the Arab League condemn this betrayal of the Palestinian cause by the UAE, and the Arab League decided not to. They said no. And ultimately, this, I think, as you say, signals a really significant sea change that will be very difficult to dial back. Quite frankly, the more Arab countries come to some form of realization that Israel and relations with Israel are in their best interest, it'll become increasingly more difficult for the Arab League and really any Arab bodies and, quite frankly, many Arab countries to engage in those kinds of condemnations or take an anti-Israel line. So, yes, quite frankly, this will be, I think, a very dramatic development, and hopefully we'll have dividends for all countries for many years to come.
Mm. And I firmly believe that the pressure that the other Arab states will now be able to exert on the Palestinians, and the fact that the Palestinian people themselves will be able to see a completely different reality, because they're also subjugated, unfortunately, to a very, very difficult and corrupt leadership, should really even allow peace to become a possibility with the Palestinians and Israelis.
Certainly. I think, if anything, the events of recent days and what will be happening today at the White House should serve as a wake-up call for all Palestinians, both Palestinian leaders and the Palestinian people. If for so many years they've been led to believe that they have a veto over Israeli-Arab peace, and that no Arab state would dare cross that, as you said, Maginot line, and engage with Israel without Palestinian permission, today we see that that is simply no longer the case. And so hopefully that will drive Palestinian leaders and the Palestinian people to get serious about peace, to come to the negotiating table and to actually seek that peaceful settlement, with the state of Israel, that both sides so dearly wanted and have wanted for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also it's just so fascinating, because, you know, when the South African government, as you know, has been very, very caught up and has a very one-sided view of the conflict, for reasons that we don't need to go into right now. But when the announcement was made, between the peace announcement between the UAE and Israel was announced, the South African government, or the international relations departments, announced that it was regrettable. And because that was sort of the standard line because of the Palestinian issue. And so quickly they looked like complete fools, because who announces, who says, who calls a peace agreement between two countries regrettable? So very quickly they had to almost backpedal and kind of figure out how to play this better than they have been in the past. And I'm not saying that they were gifted with profound and sudden wisdom, because I don't believe that'll happen. But the interesting thing about it is that it does shift perspectives, and it shifts perspectives in the unlikeliest of places, because all of a sudden your old narrative just seems a little odd.
Look, what we're seeing is battle lines are being drawn. Mm. We are seeing that there are two sides of the story, and that there are those who are supporting this and those who are opposing it. Those who are supporting it include moderate Arab states, include Europe, America, include many of Israel's friends and many of Israel's, I would say, less likely friends around the world. And those who've been opposing it include such pernicious actors as Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, Turkey, countries with which I would say most countries in the world would not want to be associated. And so it falls to every government to decide which side of the line they would like to find themselves on. Are they on the side of peace, or on the side of rejectionism. And I certainly hope that South Africa makes the right decision.
Avi, you've been involved in this area of Israel advocacy, of education for some time. You've seen it all. Did you imagine this happening?
Quite frankly, my organization, the American Jewish Committee, has known about these developments for quite a long time. We've mm-hmm. been engaged in the Arab world in both North Africa and the Gulf for over 25 years. We've been traveling there regularly. We have direct contact with the leaders of these countries. And actually, in recent months, we've seen both Emirati and Bahraini officials use our public platforms to discuss their perspectives and their openness.
So in fact, you've been part of this process.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
So obviously, you can't tell us who's next, but do you think there will be further announcements of peace?
I think it's inevitable. I think, as you noted, this is a sea change. There's no turning back the clock, and we will see ever more countries join the circle of peace and prosperity in the Middle East.
Absolutely love it. I can just see a headline, peace breaking out all over the Middle East. It's just a really, really incredible. One of our listeners, Austin Gibbs, says, what a great discussion. The Palestinians hopefully will now come to the table with honest and open agendas to earnestly seek peace for its people. Well, I certainly hope that is the case. Avi Meir, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I do appreciate your input. Keep doing the amazing work that you are doing, and we'll catch up with you maybe when there's another announcement.